We're thankful for you that are here today. Amen. I mean that. I don't just say it. I mean it. We love you today. Amen. Lynn and I love you all. Praise God. Amen. And again, if this is your first time, we're so glad that you've come. Hallelujah. But we're going to get into the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, verse 1. Everybody got it? If you don't have a Bible in your hand, there's amen there on the screen. Amen. 28, 1. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him did the keepers shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah, we're going to blast the shofar as again. We want you to give the Lord a shout of praise for his word today. Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's break through. Hallelujah, I believe our praise and our worship has broken through the atmosphere. Let's break a little bit higher. Come on, hallelujah, come on, let's break the sound barrier just a little bit further. The Lord will allow me. I want to minister just on this song. This tomb is closed. This tomb is closed. Look at your neighbor and say, this tomb is closed. Hallelujah. I'm convinced today that most everybody here knows why we're here today. Amen. I'm convinced that just about everybody here knows why we're here. If you've been paying any attention at all, amen, you've heard it said several times since we began the songs. Several of the songs, amen, hallelujah, encompass, praise the Lord, the truth of a risen Savior, the blood of Jesus, amen, him crucified, praise the Lord, salvation. And so whether or not you're saved today, people in here believe that Jesus rose from the dead, amen. If you believe he rose from the dead, lift your hand, amen, praise the Lord as a witness, hallelujah. Now the details, amen, of the days of the crucifixion, amen, and the days leading up to, amen, praise the Lord, the crucifixion and all of the burial and everything that encompasses, hallelujah, those last days that Jesus was here on this earth, familiar to most, amen. Most of us, if we've been in church any length of time, we've heard a lot of the details concerning the crucifixion of Jesus, amen. Some details and some historical truths may not be known to everybody, but the story is known to people that Jesus hung on a cross. They took him down, put him in the grave, amen. On the third day, he rose, hallelujah. And then he went back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. So there's many approaches that we can take today in order to preach a message on the resurrection. There is many different ways that we could break down the story in so many details and a lot of the history and things that are in there, amen, that may not be known a lot, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but we establish, amen, that he is alive. Can I just establish that today, right now, that Jesus is alive? Amen. I need your participation today. Ain't no sleeping on this resurrection. Hallelujah. If you believe he's alive, nudge your neighbor and say, I believe that he is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. And we know that because he rose, he ascended back. Amen. To the Father seated on the right hand of the throne. Amen. Amen. And he will return again. Just as sure as he rose up from the grave, he will come back again. He left here in a glorified body as a man, as a crucified Savior in his raiment. But when he comes back, he's going to come back, and the Bible says he's going to be riding on a white horse, amen, and the scepter will be in his hands, and the crown will be upon his head, hallelujah, and his vesture will be dipped in blood, and written on his side will be King of Kings.
Prepare his body for the burial.
Yep.
3 days later, after the weekly Sabbath, the high Sabbath passed, the weekly Sabbath passed, and now, hallelujah, it became the first day of the week. Amen. On Sunday, as we know it. It wasn't Sunday then, but it was the first day of the week. It's our Sunday. That's why I said earlier, doesn't matter what day you believe that he died. Amen. He rose at the same day. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why they came. Amen. To prepare his body with the spices. Because, amen, he was not properly buried in that tomb. Hallelujah. But they wouldn't have to do that. Amen. We know according to the scripture that they would not have to prepare his body. Hallelujah. Because when they got there, as they approached, it was Mary, Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary. Hallelujah. Mary, Mary, Mary. Amen. Got to the tomb. When they got to the garden tomb of Jesus, now you understand that this was not very far from Golgotha. This was in a garden that wasn't very far from, hallelujah, from where Jesus was crucified. Amen. But when they got, hallelujah, at the breaking of the dawn, amen, as the morning began to break, and they got to, hallelujah, that tomb, Matthew's account said something happened when they got to that tomb. I say a tomb. The Bible says, Matthew said, amen, that the earth began to quake. Amen. And as the earth began to quake, hallelujah, an angel from heaven came down. And as the earth was quaking, the angel rolled back the stone away from the tomb. And then he sat upon the stone. And the Bible says, were there with Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe it was the centurions that could have possibly been there at the cross. Hallelujah. But the guards that were guarding the tomb, the Bible says they literally froze in fear, that they stood there like dead men and did not even move. And the angel said, hallelujah, this Jesus whom you've come to see. I wonder if anybody in here knows the same Jesus that I'm talking about today. I'm trying to hustle today, but I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That angel said, I know this Jesus that you've come to see, but he is not here. So don't be afraid, because Mary, Mary, was a man afraid as well. Hallelujah. But he said, don't be afraid.
Come on.
Stop being afraid.
Amen.
Come on.
Come to tell somebody today, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Then they said, he ain't here. They didn't talk in King James either. They simply said, I know this Jesus that you're looking for, but don't be afraid now. He's not here. And the reason he's not here is because he has risen, just like he told you. He has risen just like he told you that he would. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we know that they went in. Come on, somebody. Do you hear? He said, come here. Come here and see where he lay. Come and see the place where they lay him. See, I believe that they walked to the tomb with Jesus from the cross. I believe that they carried, hallelujah, themselves to that tomb, and they knew how to get there. But he said, come and see where he lay. He's not here anymore. Then they said, quickly, quickly, go tell the disciples that Jesus has risen. Go tell them that you have seen it for yourself. So they went in and they saw the place where Jesus lay. We spend a lot of time talking. I was searching heaven for what God would have us to minister today. Amen. You can pick anything. Again, I told you there's all kinds of history, there's all kinds of things. Amen. But you can take and preach on the resurrection. Amen. But I searched heaven, God. What do you want us to say on this resurrection? Amen. We've been here so many times before, but what do you want to say on this resurrection? Hallelujah. See, we talk a lot about the tomb. We talk a lot about, amen, the tomb being empty. Amen. We talk a lot about, amen, the tomb after Jesus had risen. Hallelujah. But we don't hear a whole lot. Amen. Praise God. We don't spend much time talking about the seal that was placed upon the tomb. We don't spend a whole lot of time talking about, hallelujah, that part of the story. And if you understand, amen, the seal, see, here's the thing. The Bible says that they rolled the stone in front of the door or in front of the tomb. Now, you've got to understand that in a rich man's tomb, as it was, as in a wealthy tomb, the stone was round. Amen. There would also would have been, amen, a notch, amen, that had been engraved in the stone. Amen. Because the tomb was in a cave. Amen. It wasn't 6 feet in the ground, but it was in a cave. And so there would have been, amen, a line, a place notched out in the, amen, in the rock. Praise God. So that as they rolled the stone, now when you understand it, amen, it is on an incline. Amen. So that as they roll the stone, amen, that it lands there in front of the tomb. Amen. And so that even though the stone was heavy, and it took several people, probably at least two men, amen, to roll it in front of it. Amen. They rolled that stone in front of the tomb after they placed Jesus in it. But the next day, amen, which would have been the high Sabbath, amen, the guards went and they asked, amen, they said, do you not think, amen, do you remember that he said that he would rise after 3 days? And we kind of think that the disciples might go and steal his body, and so that they could say that he had resurrected. So can we go ahead and put a seal upon the tomb so that they, if they try to break in, we will know that they have stolen him. So this means that they probably took ropes, amen, and they put ropes across that stone. And as they put ropes across that stone, they would have taken clay and they would have attached the ends of the ropes to the tomb with that clay. And then where the ropes would have crossed, they would have also put, amen, another, amen, a lump of clay, a soft clay. And then they would have took, amen, the symbol of the Roman authority, and they would have pressed it into that, amen, into that seal, and all four of the corners of that rope. And then in the middle where they crossed, they would have put the Roman seal of authority in that, so that if anybody attempted to break open the tomb, they would have had to break the seal, and then they would have known, amen, that somebody had robbed the grave and took Jesus. Amen. And so the seal, and so, amen, the Romans, amen, the guard, amen, the priests agreed, amen, so they put the seal, amen, on the next day. Jesus was in the grave, amen, for that first night, and sometime in the high Sabbath. Now, I believe that would have been, amen, hallelujah, on a Thursday. Hallelujah. So sometime, amen, in the high Sabbath, amen, they went and they put that seal upon the tomb. And then they placed the guards, amen, to guard that tomb. Hallelujah. So you got to understand, amen, that the sign of authority from, amen, the Roman government was upon that tomb. tomb was upon that grave so that nobody, hallelujah, could move the stone without breaking the dry clay and destroying the seal. Hallelujah. And so they said, now we got to seal it, because if we don't do it today, he would rise after the third day, and they may attempt to go in and take his body. Now here's what you got to understand. Anybody who messed with the Roman seal was going to face severe punishment. Amen. Sometimes even, amen, death. Hallelujah. But anybody that broke the Roman seal, hallelujah, would face punishment. Hallelujah. So that seal simply said, this tomb is closed. This is the final word of authority. Nothing's coming out and nothing's going in. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Amen. This tomb is closed. Hallelujah. And just as death had the final say, hallelujah, and said that this tomb is closed, right? Death, before Jesus died, death had the final say. When anybody died, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Death had the final say. Amen. If they died believing in God, it was the final say. This tomb is closed. Ain't nobody coming out, and no need for anybody to go in. So death had the final say and said, this tomb is closed until that was the case. Until Jesus rose and the seal of death was destroyed once and for all. So every tomb that death had declared closed, now, come on, somebody, do you hear me? It didn't have to stay that way. Just because death, hallelujah, brought them there, amen, death would not have the final say. You've got to understand that the consequence of sin is death. But the death of Jesus brought atonement for our sin. His death brought atonement for our sin, gave us now the opportunity to be redeemed from spiritual death. Because sin had sentenced us all to a spiritual death. But Jesus died and brought that atonement. Death was a sign of condemnation. Death was a sign of finality. It's finished. It's done. No changing. That is the consequence. But his death brought atonement, redeemed us from spiritual death. But his resurrection brought justification. Or if I can say it like this, it brought that legal declaration from God that we could be innocent of sin's penalty. So not only would we be atoned from our sins, because see, that happened every year at the same time up until that point. Not only could they be atoned for their sins because the blood of Jesus had been shed, but now because he rose up from the grave, now we can be justified, and a legal declaration from God that said, even though you are atoned, you are now innocent from that sin. That penalty is now off of you, and it's just as if you have never ever sinned before. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Can I tell you that resurrection gave us freedom instead of a death sentence? Because sin gave us a death sentence. And everything that held the stone sealed that tomb was broken. And because Jesus lives, now you and I can be justified, freely forgiven. I love the bridge of that last song we sang. Does anybody want to be worthy? Does anybody want to be righteous, justified, purified in His sight, worthy, forgiven? Come on, somebody. Really living. Some of you think, amen, that the things of this world can give you, amen, hallelujah, peace and joy, but they can't. There's nothing in this world that'll only give you temporary, hallelujah, delusion that everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah, but because Jesus lives, hallelujah, we've got freedom from that death sentence. Amen. And now the stone that was sealed at the tomb of your life, that stone that had been rolled and said, hallelujah, that it's been done, it's over. There's no, amen, there's no recompense for you. Hallelujah, that seal has now been broken. Amen, that which was sealed, amen, the stone at your tomb has now been destroyed. Amen. And now, hallelujah, you have the opportunity, amen, to come up out of that grave, because now the consequence of sin doesn't have to be death. Hallelujah, but the blood of Jesus brought atonement, and the resurrection brought justification. And now you're not only saved, but you're free. Come on, somebody, do you understand me? And everything that sealed the tomb that you were in has been destroyed because of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Stay with me for just a few minutes. Interesting about tombs in the scripture, because when you study and you look, no two tombs were alike. Because see, some of y'all are like, well, you just don't know what my tomb's like. You don't know what it's like being in my tomb. See, no two tombs were alike. All of them had a small forecourt in the front. That forecourt led to the interior of the tomb, including the inner chamber. And there were benches along the walls of that inner chamber. And then there was a pit that was at a lower elevation. There was a lower elevation pit, so the tomb did not have a flat floor. So you went in, amen, to the forecourt, to the beginning, and then, amen, it led into the inner chamber where, amen, there were places, there were benches along the wall. It was places for people to sit. Amen. It was places for people, amen, to sit down. And then you step a little further and the floor dropped. It was a lower elevation pit. Amen. And that is where, amen, you could stay with Sam. That was for the place to where they would stand. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And then the body would be put on a stone bench. Amen. So you got to understand, hallelujah, amen, that when they put Jesus in that, amen, in that grave, hallelujah, this was a wealthy man's grave, so this would have been the cream of the crop, if I can say it like that, amen. So they went into the forefront, amen. They would go into the inner chamber, they would have taken Jesus, and they would have laid him, amen, on that bench, his body wrapped, amen, in those linen cloths. Now they couldn't stay there, and mourn because the Sabbath was coming. And they had to get back the high Sabbath. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. So although they were exactly designed the same, no two tunes were alike. Amen. And so just because you and I are the creation of God, we all live and breathe, we all have the same blood, we may have different colored skin, we may have different type of hair, we may have different features, but on the inside we're all the same. It's the same blood, the same organs, and we were created to worship Him. We were created to be in a relationship with Him. And so while all of us, hallelujah, were sentenced to death, hallelujah, and a tomb is a tomb is a tomb, and all of us were sentenced, and death was the final sentence, hallelujah, the things that got us to the grave, amen, that got us in our tomb are different. And so even though the tombs would have been different, no two tombs would have been alike, the end result would have been the same thing. It would have been the final place where death would have had, hallelujah, the final word and the seal upon it, and there would have been no possibility of freedom. Hallelujah. So what is the grave? What is the tomb? Amen. If I can just say it simply, amen, it is a finality. It is a place of no return. It is a place of darkness. It is a place of sorrow. It is a testimony of defeat. In the Hebrew, it literally means prison. It is a Sheol, which is, hallelujah, a prison. Because Sheol has inmates. Amen. So grave, the tomb was a prison. And they thought that they had Jesus there. Hallelujah. Once and for all. And the enemy thinks that he's got some of you. There's some of you in here today. You're still in the tomb. Amen. Your life, your choices, your circumstances, sin, whatever it is, has got you captive in the tomb. And the enemy wants you to think that it's final. The enemy wants you to think that you're at the point of no return. I feel it in the spirit. There's somebody here today who struggles in addiction. And I'll even say this, it's alcohol. And I feel the presence and the unction of the Holy Ghost that the enemy has told you that your alcohol addiction is always going to have the last word. It's told you you will get to the point of no return. But I've come this morning on this Resurrection Sunday to tell you that the seal has been broken. Say in that tomb, you can be free. Jesus did not die so you could just be saved. He rose so you could be free. Come on, somebody. I said He rose so you could be free.
Yes. Amen.
Place of darkness. Final word, prison, that Sheol where you are an inmate.
Come on.
And you're held. But when they got to the tomb, the seal had not been broken. The seal had not been broken. The guards that had been sent there made sure of that. I'll tell you, there's some guards from hell that are manning your life, that are making sure that the seal on your tomb doesn't get broken. But I can tell you today that you can come out of there. Hallelujah. You don't have to stay in that tomb. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they got there, amen. Praise God. Now think about this. I thought about this. Hallelujah. Today, this morning, early this morning. Hallelujah. I'm sure they've been keeping track of the days, right? Those guards, because they were worried about the third day. That's the day they were worried about. It was the third day because Jesus had said, I'm going to rise on the third day. They went, amen, amen, to the temple. And they said, we need to put a seal on that because we think that the disciples will come and they will take him away on that third day. So we need to seal it. Amen. So they were counting down the days. Are you with me? And now the third day had happened. It was the third day. And they probably thought, man, we got this thing. Boys, the watch is about over. But then all of a sudden, hallelujah, the earth began to shake. Hallelujah. Oh, the same earthquake that had happened 3 days earlier. Son of God. Now again, 3 days later, amen, the earth shook again. Hallelujah. And when the earth shook, I believe that the mountain, the cave in which that tomb was in, began to vibrate. And that stone began to rattle. And those seals began to break off. And that angel came down and rolled that stone up. Come on, somebody. And he sat on it to say, this is not done. Come on, somebody. That seal was broken. And Jesus didn't walk out of the grave when the earthquake happened. He was already gone. So somewhere, this was at the breaking of the dawn, so just to make sense to you, about 5:30, 5:45, here they come. But Jesus was already gone. So somewhere about between 3:30 and 5:30 that morning, Jesus rose from the dead. On the third day, just like he said he would. Hallelujah. I don't want to get into logistics, but that's why, according to the calendar and according to the dates, hallelujah, praise God, Jesus was buried on Thursday. Amen. Thursday evening, he was in the grave. He said, I'll be in the grave 3 days and three nights. He was in there the first night, the first day, the second night, the second day, the third night, and then the third day. And after 3 days, he came out of that grave. But he didn't wait till the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. But hey, man, the angel said, he's not here. He isn't here. But he has already risen. Come on in to the grave. Come on in to the tomb and see where he lay. Evidence that he rose was the stone being rolled and him already being gone. Are you with me? Now when they get in there on that bench, they go into the forecourt. I can see them with their lamps, their oil lamps, carrying their spices. And they went into that fore chamber. It was still dark. Amen. The sun was just breaking. It was just the daybreak. And they go in there. Hallelujah. They're lighting the way. They get into that inner chamber and they sit down. Amen. At that lower pit. Hallelujah. And they look on that bench. And it looks like Jesus is laying there. Why? Because the linen grave clothes were all in place, just like he was laying there. And even the napkin that covered his face was still rolled up. Hallelujah. Like he was laying there. Hallelujah. But he was not there. Yet another proof that nobody came and took him, because they would have had to cut the grave. gray clothes to get him out, but the gray clothes were still there in the tomb. I've come to tell somebody today, amen, that the very thing that held you bound is still in that tomb. You don't have to be there. You've come out, and the thing that had you bound, the stuff that got you there, is in the tomb, but you're not. Come on, somebody. Why? Because you need to tell hell this tomb. So they go in, and there's no way Jesus had been stolen, because all that was still there and in place. Now if history is correct, those linen cloths soaked in the myrrh can weigh a lot. They're pretty heavy. But they were all there, intact, as if Jesus was laying there, but his body was gone. Now see, 3 days prior, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit to God, and the earth quaked. Now prior to that, from noon to 3 o'clock, the Bible says that the sun was darkened. So not only was there an earthquake, but it was dark, like an eclipse. Got one coming in a week.
Yeah.
I ain't saying I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you that's kind of unthinkable. Right. 3 hours they were like that, and then an earthquake. I don't know about you, but I might be like, But at the same time that Jesus said it's finished and the earth began to quake, something happened in the temple. The curtain that separated the holy place and the most holy place ripped right in two. And for the first time, the average man could see into the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Could see the ark and the mercy seat and the golden cherubs. Come on. And the wings. Oh, hallelujah. And the Shekinah glory that hovered in that for the first time. But that ain't all. It gets better. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," and the earth began to quake, the Bible says something else happened. Not only did the veil in the temple rent, now we're not talking about a shower curtain, I forget the thickness, but this was a thick curtain. This was not some little thin sheer that we think about as a curtain, amen. It ripped it in two because Jesus said, "It is finished." But something else happened, amen, when the earth began to quake. The Bible says the saints, amen, that died believing God, hallelujah, that their graves began to open. So listen to me now. They weren't buried 6 foot under like we are. That wasn't how graveyards were. They were buried in tombs. Are you with me? So that means that stones begin to roll away. Amen. Seals begin to be broken. Somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. But listen. Hallelujah. Those graves opened up. Hallelujah. But when that earthquake happened, when Mary, 3 days later, when that earthquake happened again, those graves that had been opened, the saints that were in those graves got up. They got out of that grave and they were walking the streets of Jerusalem. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Oh, somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. Matthew says they were walking. See, his death opened graves. but his resurrection conquered death. Now, before we got it, let's go. So I need two or three. Come to agreement. Come on.
Come on.
Now here's what I believe. If you study the scriptures, and I'm not asking you to believe it, because it's not there. Truth is, Jesus rose and still alive. I know we think in our mind about all of the saints that had died prior, like Moses and all those folks were up walking around. I don't believe that. First of all, their bodies would have been ashes, dirt. They would have been long disintegrated. If you study the scripture, if you look at it, I believe this was people that had died in recent times who still had their bodies. Come on, are you with me? And you say, well, I get that. But what good is going to be Moses and Abraham and all them guys and Elijah and come down and walk around the streets? Come on. That ain't survival happening. Because I believe that they rose, but just like Lazarus, they would die again and experience the final resurrection. Come on. He rose Lazarus from the grave. Lazarus didn't ascend to heaven. But Lazarus, they tried to kill him. They tried to kill him because he was a sign of resurrection. But Lazarus had to go ahead and he died again and ended up going. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. So see, my point is that, amen, imagine you buried your daddy. And an earthquake, another earthquake had just happened. Now, a lot of them probably were in their houses. They were celebrating Passover. They had their Seder. And then it was the weekly Sabbath, so not a lot of people do things. So who knows if they even went and knew that the graves had been opened. Hey, man, praise God. I know some of you are like, about all that. Oh, praise God. Don't matter. That doesn't change anything about the truth that Jesus is alive. My point being is, imagine, amen, that you had buried your parent or your child, amen, just recently, and then that earthquake happens, another earthquake, and you're like, oh my goodness, but then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. Hallelujah, open the door. Daddy's home. Hallelujah, your child has come back home. Hallelujah, the witness, amen, that death does not have the final say. Amen. Hallelujah. His death, praise God, conquered and opened the graves, but his resurrection brought them life, destroyed death. What held Jesus was still in the tomb. What was a symbol and a sign of death and a product of death was still in the tomb. And you that have come out, what held you is still in that tomb. The enemy wants you to see, the enemy will get you to go in and visit. We'll get you to go in and look at that tomb and look at the things that once held you. But you need to tell the enemy this morning, this tomb is closed. Because you are free to be justified now. You're free to be justified and a child of God. Now, when that seal on the tomb was broken, and now you're free to be justified and a child of God, the Bible says, now that you are sealed and not the tomb. You've been sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed by God, not by death. Death doesn't have that final say. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians 1 and 13 says it. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. Amen. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21 says this: Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed you a man is God. He has established you in Christ, has anointed you and sealed you until the day of redemption. So now you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and everything that once held you in that grave, amen, is no longer, hallelujah, subject. You're no longer subject to that. It's still in the tomb, but the tomb is closed because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And there is no power greater than that power that rose Jesus out of that grave. The tomb is empty, but you have to declare the tomb is closed. The seal of death said the tomb is closed. There's nowhere, no one going in and no one coming out. But Jesus rose. And you know why he had to stay in the grave 3 days, right? You understand why he had to stay in the grave 3 days? Why it was called the God's little number? Because he had to die on Passover to fulfill, as they come to music, to fulfill the Passover. He had to die on Passover. 3 days after Passover. Passover happens on the 14th of Aviv on the Hebrew calendar, what we would consider April. Passover happens on the 14th. 3 days later, on the 17th, is the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus had to stay in the grave 3 days so that it would fulfill Feast of First Fruits. Because that's why the Bible says he's the first fruits of our resurrection. And because he lives, now we also can live. Because he rose, death does not have the final word over our lives. Addiction, sin, nothing has the final word over our lives. This is closed. I'm not going back in. I'm not gonna go back looking for the grave clothes. Remember when Lazarus came out? He was so bound with the grave clothes, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And the grave clothes had to let him go. Everything that sealed your fate was destroyed when Jesus rose. All the evidence. Interesting, because I believe the guards went in too. The Bible didn't really say, but I believe the guards went in and looked, and they went back. They went back to the temple, and they're like, "He's gone." We have to tell you what happened. And they were now guilty, and they could be punished. They could face that punishment because they let the seal be broken. Come on. But the Bible says that they bribed them. They said, "If we give you enough money, will you tell them that his disciples come stolen?" Yes. Now hear this. I wanted to preach here today, but I'm not. I'm about to set you free. But the Bible says that they took the money and they bribed them into lying and saying that the disciples came and took Jesus. And it says that that story was still believed at that day. So at the time that it was written, that rumor, that lie, that Jesus did not raise, despite all the evidence, there were those that believed that lie. That the disciples came and took him, and that he did not raise. The enemy has lied and lied and lied to convince some of you to believe that even though you believe he rose from the dead, you don't believe that you can be free. The enemy has convinced you that you can't walk in the freedom. That song we sang says, does anybody want to be holy and righteous? See, hell knows that the tomb is limp. Hell knows that the stone was rolled away. So you got to understand that Jesus is Satan's Lord.
Come on.
See, we forget that he's the ruler and principality of this world, but Jesus is his Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
None of that is changed. So because Jesus is his Lord, Jesus always has the final say.
Yes.
Always has the final say. Even Satan, as you stand with me across this place, even Satan is going to bow.
Yep.
And confess that he is.
That's right.
Oh, come on, somebody. The seal that has been broken, death, sin, cannot keep you in that grave any longer.
Amen.
All that held you captive was left in the tomb. But you've come out. And you need to declare today, this tomb is closed. This tomb is closed. Stay, get ready to worship. I believe there's people here today who need to make the decision to come out of the tomb. The seal's been broken. The stone's been rolled away. But you gotta come out and leave everything that has held you. All the lies. I don't know why I feel that today. I feel that. There's somebody in here today that you've been influenced by lies of the enemy. You've made decisions, you've made choices based on those lies. But you can declare today, this tomb is closed. I'm not going back in there any longer. Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Please. If you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, I want to ask you right now to make a conscious decision. To surrender your life